With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick MPL show. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we're going to be looking ahead to the second round qualifying of this season's FA Cup, as we'll be joined by the Mid-Cheshire Guardians' Andrew Simpson. We're also going to be hearing from the managers at Ashton United, Stalybridge Celtic, Chase Town, Shaw Lane and South Shields. Plus, we've also got Colville Town's Tommy Brookbanks coming on the show. Oh, and James Hayes too. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick MPL show. Welcome. Welcome, everybody, to this week's EvoStick MPL show. My name is Ben Hughes, and welcome to this week's show. Coming up later on, we're going to be discussing FA Cup with the management at Ashton United, Stalybridge Celtic, Chase Town and South Shields. And we're also going to be discussing league form with Tommy Brookbanks, manager at Colville Town. Plus later on as well, we're going to be hearing from the marvellous Andrew Simpson with a fixture preview for those big FA Cup ties, as well as the handful of league matches this weekend. We are joined once again down the line by the wonderful James Hayes. Hello, James. How's things?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all good. So next week, depending on the FA Cup, we will be back at a football ground near you. Of course, that only applies to people who actually are near the football ground we're at. Obviously, we're not going to be going anywhere south or anywhere like that. But anyway, so that'll be on next week. But unfortunately, it's a hectic time of the season, so we've not had a chance to get to a football ground. But we've still got James over in his MPL bunker. And, you brought you on to talk about the league matches over this past weekend or so. And currently, out in front at the top of the league, it's Warrington Town. Warrington Town beat Farsley Celtic in that epic encounter on Saturday by 4-2. Leaves Farsley Celtic down in fourth position at the moment. That was only their second defeat of the season, to be fair. Warrington did follow that up as well on Tuesday night by dismissing Stafford Rangers by 1-0. Farsley Celtic bouncing back by 3-0. We'll get to Farsley and the newly promoted sides, who are all in a pack at the moment in second, third and fourth in the second. But Warrington Town, 2 points clear now, up at the top after 9 games.
They've just settled into the pace a little bit. It's just starting to get into that little bit of a nice pattern now where we've seen it in the past. They can pick up these wins and go on good little runs at the same time. Fantastic position at the moment. Some of the players are scoring for fun at this moment in time too.
And can't fault the goal scoring either. 19 goals scored in 9 matches. Not bad at all. A goal difference of plus 13. So congratulations to the defence as well. That's the best scoring record and the joint best defensive record for Warrington Town. In second position, we've got Witton Albion, and we will be discussing Witton Albion with Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian later on in the show. A Tuesday night victory over Halesowe in Town, 3-1 away from home there. That followed up a 4-0 victory over Stafford Rangers. Been quite a weekend and week for Witton Albion. They're currently in second position. Later on in the show, we are going to be also speaking to Shaw Lane's Craig Elliott. They've got a big FA Cup tie this weekend. They are also on 18 points. They beat Whitby Town 3-0 away from home midweek. Not bad at all, these results here for the newly promoted sides from Division 1 South. Absolutely cracking stuff. But Shaw Lane did get beat on Saturday by Lancaster City, another of the newly promoted sides. I don't remember all four promoted sides having such a good start to the season. I mean, I know Lancaster in 11th at the minute. They got their first defeat midweek against Ashton United, more from Ashton in a second or two. But all four have really made an impact in this opening 9 games of the season.
For how it's all set up for this season, it's a rewarding attacking football, and all four teams are showing that at this moment in time. But you can say that for the majority of the top six, top seven, looking at the whole division in the top. I think there's only four teams so far that aren't on double figures goal scoring anyway. But again, it's more about attacking football this season because of the only one relegation spot.
So in fifth position at the moment, we've got Stourbridge. Congratulations to Stalybridge Celtic. We will be hearing from Steve Burr later in the show. Stalybridge Celtic beat Stourbridge on Saturday by 3-1, their second win of the season. Stourbridge did bounce back, though, on Monday, beating Barwell by 2-1. Not not a result to be sniffed at there by Stourbridge. Grantham are in sixth position. They did beat Workington by 3-2 on Saturday, but then they followed that up midweek, as we said earlier, by that 3-0 defeat. It does feel like everyone's beating each other at the moment.
Later in the season, it will be more about the teams that you beat around you to decide where everyone's going to finish. But at the moment, it's more a case of just picking up the points where you can.
Buxton are another team who've had... They've just crept up, haven't they? I mean, they've been beaten twice in the last six outings, but the last win came midweek against Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge Celtic, again, can't get a run together. That followed a 2-0 defeat against Micklover, though. So it's like Buxton can't quite get a run together either. And then there's Colville Town. Now, Colville Town, we are catching up with Tommy Brookbanks later. They've had an excellent start to the season. One in the eye for Burke. On Tuesday, Colville Town beat Hensford Town by 5-2. Obviously, Hensford Town, let's just say they're going through a transitional period. They did win at the weekend, though, by 3-0 against Sutton Coldfield. But Colville have been pulling out some good results. They've won the last four matches, Colville Town. Not bad at all. A 1-0 as well, we should say, at the weekend against Marine for Colville. Not bad.
Yeah, I think it's just since they got out of the FA Cup, really, that the season started, because they lost the first three. And then picked up a 1-0 win away at Grantham just before the Bank Holiday Monday. Colville are one of them four teams that do like to cause problems, but I didn't expect some of the results they pulled out recently. I mean, that we've, again, Hensford during midweek, the 5-2, no one really saw that.
They're an interesting one, aren't they? They are definitely flying under the radar at the moment. Four wins, up to eighth. Ashton United, they're in ninth. Their match on Saturday was postponed, so they are slightly behind everyone at the moment. We will be hearing from your old friend, Jody Bannum, later in the show, manager Ashton United. 10th position, we've got Nantwich Town, ticking along nicely. Nantwich Town drew 1-1 with Marine. That followed a 4-1 win against Rushall Olympic on Saturday. And then there's Lancaster City. It was bound to happen at some point. Got their first defeat of the season. But a decent start for Lancaster City. And who would have said this at this stage of the season? Lancaster City ahead of Altrincham. Altrincham, they got beat on Tuesday night by 5-2 away at Workington. That followed up a 3-1 win. And four straight wins, actually. The last one being against Barwell on Saturday. A 3-1 win there. Barwell are in 13th. Stafford Rangers in 14th. It's not been the best of week for Stafford Rangers. Hensford Town, they're in 15th. Barwell, Stafford Rangers, Hensford joining a series of teams on 11 points. Matlock Town are also on 11 points. Their latest result was a 1-0 win against Micklover Sports. A good result, that. Matlock Town are ahead of Micklover Sports. They're in 17th position on 11 points. They're also joined at 11 points by Marine. Marine got a good 1-0 draw against Nantwich Town, but again, not really stringing the results together at the moment at Marine. Workington, they're in 19th. Where did that 5-2 win come from? the thing is about Workington and something which does need to be said about them, it's the number of draws. They've really the 5-2 against Altrincham and then at the weekend they lost to Grantham Town by 3-2. But that follows a string of draws, four draws back-to-back against Warrington Town, against Whitby Town, against Stafford Rangers and against Witton Albion. They're looking for something, aren't they? Probably the wins. Yeah. But anyway,
they're still good draws, though, if you look at it.
Yes.
They still get two draws against some of the top five teams and then a 3-2 defeat to Grantham, which, again, I think that was a 90th-minute goal as well for Grantham. Them to take the point. So it's not necessarily like they're drawing just for the sake of the drawing. They're getting good points there, and I reckon we've seen this a lot of times with Workington. They've struggled really early on until like December, January, and then the pace just steadily picks up, and this is when they then start looking at a playoff race from being 14th, 15th in February, March, Berkey starts saying they're going to win the league, and then obviously it's a playoff race again. But it's just more now, if again, as you said, turning them draws into wins before it gets a little bit too late.
And then there's the Whitby Town. Whitby Town, we mentioned the 3-0 defeat midweek to Shaw Lane, but they did win at the weekend, beating Matlock Town by 2-1. Whitby Town's the last team in double figures at the moment. They're in 20th position. They've got a 3-point advantage over Rushall Olympic, who are now in 21st position. But Rushall Olympic got a fine win leapfrogging over Sutton Coldfield Town by beating them by 5-1 on Tuesday night. Not a bad result there at all. Sutton Coldfield Town seem to be leaking goals somewhat. 25 goals conceded so far in their 9 matches. They're currently 3rd from bottom. We did say we're going to be speaking to Steve Burr later. Stalybridge Celtic are now off the bottom of the table. It's 2 points ahead of Halesowen Town. On that note, James, it is early days. Big disclaimer. It's early days. There's not even in double figures yet of games played. So we'll find out where everyone is next week. Obviously, there's FA Cup matches. But James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us. Keep up the good work at MPL Towers, and we'll be hearing from you soon.
Yeah, no, it's been. Thank you.
So, fixture preview time, and coming up over the course of the next an hour or so, and at that point my correspondent on the other end of the phone goes, I'm not going to stay for an hour. No, it's all pre-recorded, it'll be fine, Simo. I've got interviews with Coalville Town. Tommy Brookbanks is going to be joining us talking about the league, and of course we've got some FA Cup matches, so we're going to be hearing from Steve Burr at Stalybridge. We've got Jody Bannum coming on from Ashton, we've got Craig Elliott coming on from Shaw Lane, we've got Scott Dundas coming on from Chasetown, and it does feel like I've started a list there and I've forgotten someone.
Oh no.
Who have I forgotten? There is someone I've forgotten, isn't there? Well, that'll be a surprise. Oh, South Shields. How can you forget your biggest audience? South Shields.
So glad you saved that.
Lee's coming on from South Shields. But there's that man on the other end of the phone there, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian and the North West Counties podcast. Hello, Simo, how are you?
Oh, you had to say that, didn't you? You know, I feel... coming back, tail between my legs.
You could tell.
The
15 presenters that show's got, you could tell they're all like, oh, this is quite a coup, this. Oh, look at, oh, we've got a celebrity. You could all hear it in the voices. Anyway.
It's a one-off. I forgive
no,
me.
No, no. You've got so many horses in that race, you might as well go on regular. It's fine.
I've got your blessing. I might do it.
That's fine. So we'll start off with the league, and we'll come to the big match on Saturday in a second, but there are 5 matches in the league this weekend. Right, well, let's start with the team currently in 4th position, Farsley Celtic. Farsley Celtic this weekend, they'll be hosting bottom of the table Halesowen Town. It's early days in the league, but the league is starting to stretch out already when it comes to the teams down the bottom end, isn't it? So Halesowen's got to start stringing the results together.
They absolutely do. They played Witten in midweek and were well beaten 3-1. I think teams a little bit are queuing up to play Halesowen at the moment because they're in, like you say, a rotten run of form. Lost 5 of the past 6. They've lost every away game, which is not a good sign going into a really difficult fixture for them at Farsley. I mean, I can't remember if it was kept in or not, but I think I did say in the, well, not I think, I did say in the preview show that I thought Halesowen would struggle this season if they didn't sort out the problems that they had in front of goal last year, and the early indications are that they haven't, and that's a real problem. So where don't you want to be going? Farsley, a Farsley team that are flying, and really positive signs for manager Adam Laitland in that they did have a setback last weekend, losing to league leaders Warrington. They were beaten 4-2, but bounced back brilliantly to beat Grantham 3-0 in midweek. So they'll be feeling really good going into this one. And also, Farsley are the best home team in the league so far this season. So I know where I'm lumping my money this weekend.
Just going a bit further north from Halesowen. Workington against Hensford Town. This is an interesting one. Hensford obviously have had a couple of issues off the pitch of late. It's just so unsettled, isn't it, at Keys Park at the moment?
It really is, and it has been for some time, which again is something we touched on in the monthly show, isn't it? And they've made another change with Neil Tooth going and Rob Smith and Larry Chambers returning to the club. They had an initial bounce when they beat Sutton Coldfield Town, although I'm not sure we can read too much into that because everybody's beaten Sutton Coldfield Town. And indeed, they then went to Coalville in midweek and got a little bit of a hiding. Coalville we'll touch on in a minute, are going well, to be fair. But yeah, there's going to be a period now where Rob and Larry kind of sort through the squad. They've obviously inherited Neil's squad and he did a lot of recruiting over the summer. So I think we're going to see consistently inconsistent performances from Hensford in the next few weeks while things settle down. Going to Workington, I mean, going to a Workington side that has had a huge bounce, hasn't it, by hammering Altrincham in midweek, which ended a long run that they've had without winning a game in league or cup. So they really did need that, Workington. We've all been kind of saying, don't worry, Workington will get going eventually. Maybe that is the moment that they do. Scott Allison scored a hat-trick, which will do him the world of good. And they'll fancy making it back-to-back wins tomorrow, I think.
And you mentioned Sutton Coldfield. Sutton Coldfield, at the moment, have the worst defensive record in the league. They've got a goal difference of minus 15, 25 conceded thus far in 9 matches. It's eye-watering, isn't it? And they're travelling to Whitby Town this weekend. Whitby Town still a bit stickier, still a bit sluggish down the bottom end.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to Shore Lane in midweek comprehensively. But again, that was skewed a little bit by Whitby had a player sent off in the first 2 minutes. So they played virtually the entire game with 10 men. And obviously Shore Lane, as we know, are having a good start to the season after initially being slow. So, but that came off the back of Whitby beating Ashton and Matlock. So it looked like they'd maybe turned a little bit of a corner. So I don't know if we read too much into them losing to Shore Lane, because A, Shore Lane are good, and B, Whitby had 10 men. So it's probably good timing that Sutton Coldfield are coming to town. You've said pretty much what I was going to about them. They can't stop conceding goals. I mean, they conceded 25 in total, but 14 of those in the last 3 games. So it's obvious where they need to improve, and if they don't improve quickly, they're going to lose.
And we've got Matlock Town against Marin. Both teams tied in a big chunk of teams in mid-table, all on 11 and 10 points and that kind of thing. It feels like Marin have had a good start to the season, but league position suggests not.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? I mean, they've improved away from home, because we all kind of raised an eyebrow when they lost 5-0, if you remember, at Grantham on the opening day, but they were unbeaten away from home in the league since then. So you think, OK, they're starting to get their act together. They had a decent draw at Nantwich in midweek, and Danny Mitchley got his first goal of the season, which will do him the world of good, and it'll be interesting to see if he can kick on from there, obviously their main man up top. And they'd come to Witten before that and had a good draw as well before that. So Matlock have had a bit of a weird start as well, haven't they? Yeah. And it was a huge win for them in midweek to beat Mickleover 1-0, because they'd lost the previous 4. So they've stopped the rot there. It's had a bit of a weird week as well, in that their goalkeeper retired last week and then 7 days later came back and kept a clean sheet in that game against Mickleover, Phil Barnes.
Did he keep his leaving gift?
I don't know. It's better a bit of a strange. What do you do? You know, I'm going, I'm not. It's a huge boost for them to get him back, because he was their player of the year last season. So they'll be made up, and the signs are positive. He kept a clean sheet on his way back. But yeah, Matlock haven't got going yet, have they? And both sides will be looking to try and inject some life into their season by getting a win tomorrow. But the fact that they've been kind of so, you know, unpredictable, I guess it's got a draw written all over it, hasn't it, I think?
Now then, interview time coming up in a second. We're going to be hearing from Tommy Brookbanks at Coalville Town. Coalville Town have had a great start to the season, and we'll be hearing from Tommy in a second. This weekend, they'll be hosting Witten Albion. It's 8th place Coalville Town against 2nd place Witten Albion. And as we've got Simo on, we'll start with the visitors from a Cheshire perspective. Witten Albion, yeah. Cal McCauley, he's had a storming start to the season, hasn't he?
Absolutely outstanding, what can you say? I mean, they've surpassed expectation, definitely, and I don't mean to sound critical by doing that. They thought they would be competitive at this level and were confident going into the season, obviously, with coming up as a promoted team and a winning mentality, but they've certainly done better than I would have expected them to. They're unbeaten away from home this season. That's been a real strength for them, that kind of form on the road and the way they're picking up points. They're very, very solid, but they're capable of scoring goals as well, as shown by a 4-0 hammering of Stafford last weekend when they played really, really well. They carried that on in midweek against an admittedly a Hales Owen team that's struggling, but they've carried on this win. And this is their third away game in 7 days, which is a big ask. And they're going to a team that's obviously playing very well, which you'll touch on. But yeah, Witten seem to like life on the road. If you go further back to last season as well, they've only lost one of the past 14 away games in the league, which is a tremendous, tremendous record. And a little carrot for them tomorrow is, if they were to carry on that run with Warrington being on duty in the FA Cup, Witten will go top of the league, which might be kind of nosebleed territory. But at the same time, they will have deserved it as well, because they've had such a good start.
Well, let's hear now from the home side. Coalville Town have had a cracking start to the season as well. And well, on Thursday night, I caught up with the manager at Coalville Town, Tommy Brookbanks. Hello, Tommy. How's things, mate?
Yeah, good, Ben. How's yourselves?
I'm all good. So, Colville Town last season, you were part of our christened gang of four that nobody would like to play because you just didn't know what you were going to get from Colville. Very good transitional season after promotion the previous year. This season, though, you've really hit the ground running, a superb start to the season. Is it meeting your expectations?
It is. The first week it didn't, Ben. I'll be honest with you. First three games, we had too many players missing, particularly strikers. So it was a really bad first week to lose, you know, 3 out of 3. But we're together as a club. We knew that we'd got a decent squad and we knew it was going to change. Did we know quite so dramatically? Not really, because you never know with this league, Ben. But it's definitely a better squad, we feel, than last year, definitely.
What lessons did you take from last season? Because obviously, I made this comparison last year. I think to you personally about Sutton Coldfield, because they'd come up in a similar way the year previous to you, and they had a great first season in the league, but not so much last season. What lessons did you learn last season to kick on so well like you have?
First and foremost, when we started with the Evo Stick South side that won the playoffs so convincingly. But by October, we realised that some of them physically and mentally weren't quite up to it. So we had to change in October to make sure that we was going to be in this league at the end of the season, which we did. And I have to admit, we went a bit more physical to get through the season. But, you know, me and myself, my assistant Mark, have always been footballing managers. And we said once we got through to the end of the season, that we'd change back to what we was in Evo Stick South, but hopefully get better players in and work with them all pre-season and getting them moving the ball quickly. And the biggest lesson I think we learned was fitness. You know, the teams similar to ourselves, such as Grantham, who did well last year, were super fit. So we made sure we got younger players in, Ben, fitter, and they're moving the ball about quicker. And I'm not saying it's going to work every week, but you know, lessons learned from last season, really.
And last week we spoke to another member of the Gang of Four. I don't know whether you managers like that kind of name or anything, but we spoke to Jimmy Ginnelly at Barwell. And yeah, I got the impression from Jimmy that he quite likes the flying under the radar nature of Barwell. And I'm just wondering whether Colville are the same. I mean, I can't remember who said it. We didn't do relegation on the previous show, but I think it was Berkey, and Berkey's sometimes right and a lot of times wrong. And he said, you know, Colville are going to be one of those teams in perhaps down the bottom end this season. Do you thrive on that kind of flying under the radar and proving pundits like Berkey wrong?
Yeah, I was hoping that Berkey was going to be on the show because I was going to have him. Because, you know, I was going to tell him he's disrespectful as well, Ben, because, you know, we finished 15th last year, having won the playoffs. And then, you know, if you looked at Colville as a club, they've always, you know, had a season or two, then gone up. You know, every league they've ever been at. So I was going to pop it in tonight, but he's not there, is he? So
he's smarter than that, you see. He's smarter than that.
Yeah, keep that out of the way. But yeah, we love it. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, teams don't like us beating them, basically. You know, they don't see it, that we see it fit that we should beat them, but we love that, you know, and there's no predictions from us. You know, there's no pressure. The chairman is great. He don't put any pressure on us. And at the end of the day, we just keep turning up week in, week out, churning it out. I think we're a third of the way of avoiding relegation. One going down this year, that's 45 points. We'll get the 45 and then we'll see where we go from there, Ben. But yeah, I love flying under the radar. It's great.
Absolutely. And just a point that you've already mentioned it, and that was the you know, what Colville have done over recent years is solidify at a level and then go a level up. And it's an example I made brought up last week with Jimmy about Hungerford Town in the Southern League, who you know, a similar size club to Colville and to Barwell, who now are snugly fit in the National League South. It is possible for a club like Barwell or like Colville Town to go up. And is that your long-term, maybe medium-term aspiration for the club?
Definitely, yeah. And, you know, and it also, if anybody bothered to look at mine and Mark's track record, you know, we're 22 years in there. Every couple of years, we get a promotion. So, really, that's what we're here for. You know, we're not here to just make the numbers up in Evo Stick Prem. We want to move on, but at a pace that suits the football club on and off the pitch. And, you know, if people look at our ground now and, you know, what people are doing off the pitch, our ground's transformed superbly in the last couple of years. So not only are we getting better on the pitch, we're getting better off the pitch. So we're doing it together But at our pace, Ben, we're, you know, it's not going to cripple us.
And this weekend, we mentioned it already, Witten Albion. It's going to be a very good indication of where Coalfield Town are, I feel, this season. And yeah. then it's Sutton Coldfield Town on Tuesday night, a trip over there to the West Midlands. If games are coming thick and fast, what are you expecting from the pair of them?
I just don't know. To be honest, Ben, you know, I'd never make a prediction and say we're going to beat Witten, we're going to beat Sutton, because, you know, been at it too long and football can change. As much as we've won 5 out of 6, we can go and lose 5 out of 6, Ben, because it's the nature of the beast. This league is a massive league. It's a monster league. And I wouldn't make any predictions. You know, we get every team watched. We get the reports. And always I say to our lads, and I say every game, go out and work hard in the opposition. If you come off and you've lost after that, you can't do any more. So predictions, no. We'll just give it everything like we always do. And the one thing, what we do as a team, we always go out and try and get 3 points, Ben. You know, we never go away, for example, Altrincham or anybody, to try and get a point. We always go and try and win. So we'll be trying to win both of them.
Well, Tommy Brookbanks, manager at Coalville, thank you for your call. We have forwarded on your message to Birka, and we'll find out what he thinks for the monthly show at the end of this month.
But I look forward to it.
Absolutely. so do we, really. A big thank you for joining us, Tommy, and all the best this weekend. So, Tommy Brookbanks there, and Birky, look out, my friend, look out. The managers do listen, and words do have consequence, don't they, Simo?
Yeah, which is why you and I always say we hope everybody wins, because we're sensible.
Exactly. And probably a bit too wishy-washy liberal, to be fair.
It's true. It's been said.
Anyway, go on, sorry.
I was going to say, Coalville go into this game full of confidence. They've won 4 games in a row. And they actually had a little bit of the first couple of weeks of the season was a little bit sticky for them. They lost 4 of the first 5 games, but have been absolutely flying since, doing what they did last season, scoring loads of goals. And they'll fancy kind of poking Witten in the eye tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, that's the league. But really, everyone's tuning in for the second qualifying round of the FA Cup, which kicks off this weekend. I'm just making sure there's no Sunday matches. There is one Sunday match, isn't there? The Stourbridge with the cricket. We'll come to that in a second. In fact, it's raining so much, the cricket will be off. You might as well bring it back to Saturday. Let's start off then with Saturday's matches. We've got some interviews coming up as well over the course of this. We're going to be hearing from Ashton United, Stalybridge, Chasetown and South Shields. We'll start with this one though. Mansfield, AFC Mansfield against Rush Olympic. It feels like Rush Olympic desperately need a win to kickstart the season, and this is where the FA Cup really comes into play.
Yeah, I wonder if this might be one of your banana skin games though, because Mansfield quite like the FA Cup. They got to the third qualifying round last season, which included a win against Coalville, we've talked about previously on this show. They've already won 3 games to get this far, so they'll be feeling pretty good. They've also won every single game they played at home this season. So Rush all really need to be careful. But they do go down there buoyed by a really good win in midweek against Sutton Coalfield. But also a word of caution, like you say, Mansfield at home, very, very strong this season.
And we spoke to Jimmy Ginnelly last week. Barwell will be travelling to Telford United. Telford United have been a bit up and down in the National League North. I'm one to talk, being an FC United fan. I'd love to have Telford's form at the moment. There's a chance here for Barwell. There is a chance.
I think there's a little bit of a chance. I mean, Telford have been up and down, you're quite right, but they've been awful at home. They lost the first 5 league games at home and did bounce back, admittedly, with a really good win against Stockport last time out. So they'll feel a little bit better after that. I listened to Jimmy's interview and I think he's spot on with the way he's going into it. Everyone will expect Telford to get through. The pressure's all on them. Barwell are being Barwell, as we said on the monthly show. They're having a kind of pretty solid start to the season. They've had a really tough run in the past couple of weeks, and they have lost to Witten, Stourbridge and Altrincham, but they know they're three of the best teams in the league. So there's no disgrace in that. It's a free hit for Barwell, and so let's see if they can cause an upset.
Speaking of free hits, this is a massive free hit, this one, isn't it? Basford United against Michelover Sports. Well, we did catch up, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago with Martin Carruthers at Basford United, a club clearly wanting to be in the division Michelover Sports are in, and this is a good gauge.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know, is it even... I wouldn't hesitate to say Basford a favourite. That's a bit unfair because they're lower level, but I'm really, really pleased to see that they're doing well. I said before the start of the season that, yes, the new teams going into Division 1 South would be strong, but I really fancied Basford to do well. That's based on what I saw last season. I mean, they were, for me, with the exception, of course, of Shore Lane, the best team that Witten played home and away last season. And I was amazed that they didn't get into the playoffs. Although I think we touched on it last season, if you remember, they missed out after that 3-point deduction, which will have really stung, which is such a shame because on merit they should have been in the top five. They've kind of dusted themselves down and had a brilliant start to the season, as you mentioned. They're unbeaten so far in the league. And I think Michelob will go there with a little bit of trepidation. I think it's a really, really intriguing tie, that one.
It's interview time now. And Charlene, since coming on this show at the start of the season, I've really not looked back from the sluggish start they had. And, well, let's see if it's second time a charm. Let's hear now from manager Craig Elliott at Charlene going into their match away at Blyth Spartans on Saturday. So joining us now, it's the welcome return to the show, manager at Charlene. Please welcome back Craig Elliott. Hello, Craig. How's things, mate?
Yes, but on Ben, thanks.
I was going to say, the last time we had you on, it was a sluggish start, to say the least, but you've not really looked back. So do you want to come on the show more regular?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, I mean, I said when I were on last time, we had a bit of a nightmare. And I was fully sort of hoping that we'd kick on a few games, and that's been the case, really.
I mean, Swampy said on the last MPL show that what Charlene have proved is that you don't actually necessarily need a pre-season or a ground over the summer, for that matter.
Well, I don't know about that. It helped. But yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't ideal, but yeah, it is what it is, and obviously we've kicked on since, so yeah, we can forget about its pre-season now.
So at the minute, you're very much well and truly in the mix. There's one league game left before we get to that magical 10. In the last interview we did with you, you were underplaying what your expectations were for Charlene, or downplaying rather, what your expectations were for Charlene, but this must be where you and the rest of the club would like to be, surely.
Well, I mean, obviously, we had a new club, and like I said before, I've heard all sorts of rumours about us. We cannot compete financially on and off the pitch with some of the bigger teams, and that's a fact. I'd like to think I'm an hard-working manager, and I've got players that are the same, and we just want to be an established Premier Division team. I agree. I think we're in the mix with sort of 8 or 10 other teams that can challenge for top six. But listen, two losses and you're in a relegation battle at the minute, and two wins, you're winning league, so... We don't get carried away with the losses or the wins. We're just trying to enjoy the ride and, yeah, just be competitive all season.
Now then, FA Cup this weekend, which is the main reason why we got you on. And this is a big game. This I'm an FC United fan. I saw Blyth Spartans last week, and they're a class
don't
act.
Scare me.
No, they're a class act. They really are. And Dale Hobson hasn't really, you know, he's really added something to the forward line. Let's put it that way. It's what are you expecting from them, and how are you going to compete with them this weekend?
Yeah. I was a bit gutted when I saw the draw, I'll be honest with you. It was a bit of a nightmare draw for us. Not only to be playing Blyth Spartans, but to be playing them away as well makes it even harder. We've had a difficult week of travelling already, Lancaster away, Whitby away, and then we've got to go up to Blyth and get a result. So I'm fully aware they've got an amazing front, well, I think front four, really. I mean, Rivers, Maguire, Dale and Opson. It's a frightening forward line. But like I said, we're in it to enjoy it, and it's a good day out for the club. It's the next part of his history, and we'll give it a go.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Charlene, like you've already alluded to, it's a youngest venture, this, really. To make an announcement on a to say we're here, you need to be playing the likes of Blyth Spartans in the FA Cup and putting in a good result. So this is the next step in the history, and it's quite momentous, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you said, we've had promotions, we've done well in trophy, we've won a few local cups, but FA Cup's really last on his list to sort of put his name out there. And to play in a team so rich in history that Blyth have done in the FA Cup, and like I said, with the quality of players they've got, we've got to go there and enjoy it. I mean, we want to go and be competitive, but it's great. And obviously, you know what I mean, it'd be nice to get a few supporters up from Charlene and be part of that. And I'm looking forward to the day out, obviously. From a football point of view, it's giving me a few headaches. But yeah, like I said, these are the games you want to be part of.
And speaking of headaches, assuming you do get through to the next round, on Monday you'll be playing another game, this time against Workington. The games are coming thick and fast. How are you managing it all?
Yeah, it's been full on. Like I said, we've had travelling-wise, it's been difficult this week, sort of Lancaster and Whitby and then up to Blyth and then Workington Monday. So it has been a bit full on for everybody involved, and it'd be nice to sort of try and get that Workington game out of the way and then have a little breather, really. And like you said, we're up to sort of magic point of 10 league games as well, and I hope things sort of settle down a little bit now, and we're not as full on with the games, really.
Now, obviously, I like Alan Armstrong and I like Blythe Spartans, but they've made the bed. Charlene, we hope you win at the weekend. a big thank you, Craig Elliott, manager at Charlene. A big good luck this weekend. Safe journey up there, safe journey back, and we'll speak to you in the third qualifying round.
Top man, thank you.
So Craig Elliott there, manager at Charlene. This one's a tough game, though, against Blythe Spartans, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, you saw Blythe up close, didn't you, last week?
Yes, we did,
It sounds like they're still, you know, that formidable attacking team that we know and love from their time in the Premier Division. I'm glad to see that they're doing really well at the level above. In fact, they're really in form as well. They've won five of the past six games. They've really picked up. They've been slightly iffy at home. They have lost three home games, and one of them was to North Ferriby, who are bottom of the league. It's the only game that North Ferriby have won. So there's a little bit of hope there for Charlene, in that Croft Park's not quite been the fortress that it has been in the past just yet. Charlene go up there off the back of that really good win at Whitby in midweek, and that is a great win. Although they did lose at Lancaster last weekend, but then again, Lancaster started the season really well. I think Charlene have got a chance here, you know.
Next interview comes from this match here, Buxton against Chasetown. And obviously, well, Chasetown's manager, Scott Dundas, obviously has a lot of experience when it comes to FA Cups. Let's hear what he has to say. So joining us now from Chasetown, please welcome back to the show, manager of the club is Scott Dundas. Hello, Scott. How's things, mate?
Hi, Ben. All good, thanks.
So we'll get to we'll jump in with both feet into the FA Cup. Obviously, this season we had Chasetown on last month talking about the 10th anniversary since the last epic cup run Chasetown have had. You've obviously had experience of FA Cup runs. What are you expecting this weekend from this match at Silverlands against Buxton?
A very difficult tie, to be honest with you. You know, Buxton last year were in and up and around the playoffs. Obviously, Adam watched a couple of times and, you know, they're very strong all over the pitch. So it's going to be very difficult for the boys. But like you say, FA Cup, you never know. We'll go there, give it a good go and hopefully spring a surprise.
And what's the mood at the club at the moment? Is speaking to the club's press officer last month, you could almost hear the glint in his voice when it comes to the FA Cup. I mean, what's the secret to a good FA Cup run, Scott?
My secret was the luck of the draw. we haven't really had that on this cup run. We first round was Worcester away, which was very tough. We managed to get them back to our place and beat them. And then going to Bolmere on the 3G. Again, away. And then we've been given another tough draw away. So you'd have to have the luck in the FA Cup, like say in any cup competition. But, you know, to have a home draw is massive, especially when you're playing higher opposition. So, it's going to be very difficult. But luck plays a massive part in it.
Now, just to go from the FA Cup to the league form. League form, it's been a decent enough start for Chasetown in the league. What have you made of it?
Yeah, it's been good. Like I say, when I first went in, I had one player, which was the goalkeeper, which is a good place to start, I suppose. Then I bought all the rest of the lads through. And, we've won two, drew two, lost two. Out of those six games, we've had four away again. So we haven't had many home comforts this year so far. So, it's a decent start. And we'll just try and carry it on and see where we end up.
And obviously, we've interviewed a fair few managers now in Division 1 South, and this season it's the prominent question, really, with the prospect of two automatic promotion spots, maybe even a third, and the playoffs going down to seventh. There is an extra carrot there for a lot of managers. Obviously, you've had an epic pre-season of rebuilding and that kind of thing, but what's your expectations for Chasetown this season and your hopes?
Yeah, even with building a new squad and everything, I still would like to be up and around the playoffs. It's always an ambition of any manager, I would imagine, to be up and around there. And given the extra spaces this year, you know, it goes on for a little bit longer, I would say. Especially with, I think you could get down to seventh, I think, this year and still be in the playoffs, which, you know, is pretty big, really. No team will give up at all in the South, which is what you always find in every game. It's always very competitive, and that'll just add to it going into the latter parts of the season where, you know, a little mini run could get you up from, say, 14th to 7th. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
And Division 1 South is particularly interesting because, obviously, you know, you lost Shaw Lane and Witton Albion, and then you inherit clubs like Cleethorpes Town and Peterborough Sports and Alf Church. It's one hell of a division this season, isn't it, Division 1 South?
It is. I think you've seen the results already. Everybody beats everybody. And, you know, we had a fantastic result on Monday night against Basford, who... a very good side. We had to be really at the game to just get anything out of the game. So, yeah, they're a very good team as well. And like you say, the teams that have come down, it's everybody beats everybody, and it makes it really exciting. I don't think you could predict the results in our league as much as the others.
No, absolutely not. Although, you know, some of our pundits do give it a try for some bizarre reason. But anyway, and just a closing thought then on the FA Cup this weekend. You're travelling to Buxton. Any injury concerns or all that kind of thing for this weekend?
No, we're all good to go from tonight. I think, like I say, we played Monday night, which gives an extra day rest, I suppose, not before the game. But, you know, we've had an extra day rest, and we're getting back in tonight for training, and then hopefully go with a full bill of health.
Now, obviously, Scott, it's MPL v MPL, so I can't give you biased look, I'm afraid. How do I word this? Marty McIntosh listens to this show as well. May the best team win. But Scott Dundas, thank you for joining us. Manager at Chasetown, much appreciated. So Buxton against Chasetown this weekend. Chasetown have had some... They had Worcester, didn't they, a couple of rounds ago, and that was hard. So why not Buxton?
Why not? I say Scott Dundas knows how to win FA Cup games. There's been a lot of change at Chasetown this season, and he's virtually had to build a team from nothing from what was there last season. And that is kind of reflected in the start they've had. I think they've won two, drawn two, lost two in the league. So that's expected when you're bedding down. But encouragingly, they are the first team to have taken any points off Basford in the league this season, which is a great result based on what obviously we were just saying about how well Basford have started. So there's good signs there for Chasetown going into this game. Buxton... have been a little bit streaky this season, but they have picked up in the past couple of weeks. They've won four of the past five in the league, so there are signs that they are getting their act together. They had a good win against Frickley in the last round as well. I have seen Buxton this season against Witton, and in mitigation for Buxton, they didn't have Liam Hardy or Brad Abbott, their two best attacking players, and then they did look really toothless against Witton. But all the other things we've come to expect from Martin McIntosh's side were all there. Very solid in defence, really well organised, very, very difficult to break down. And obviously they've then added the goals of Hardy when he's come back from suspension. So I make them slight favourites, but they need to be careful. Chasetown, I think, will give them a really good game.
Next up then is what many people are describing as the tie of the round. It's Darlington against South Shields. Big crowd expected there. I was up there on Wednesday night. Had a lovely evening. Darlington weren't in the best of form going into that, so I do apologise, South Shields, for giving them 3 points, but it's not down to me. South Shields, though, I've got a really good chance to, and on Wednesday I caught up with one of the joint managers, his Lee Pickton.
Hi Ben, very well, thank you.
I watched Darlington on Wednesday evening. In fact, for disclaimer purposes, we're recording this on Thursday morning, so I'm a little bit tired. So dear listener at home, if I sound a bit groggy, it's because I didn't get back till 2 in the morning. But it's a big game, this one, for South Shields, and it's been quite a good cup run so far as well. We had your chairman on before the Liverpool match in one of the earlier rounds. How important is the FA Cup to South Shields and the development of the club that we've been seeing?
I think it's, you know, it's obviously, you know, the biggest cup competition there is, and it's an opportunity, I guess, for further exposure for the football club more than anything else. You know, I think for clubs at this level, at our level, it provides an opportunity to possibly, you know, fill your coffers a little bit with a little bit of prize money if you manage to get through a few rounds, which is always helpful. But yeah, you know, from my perspective, our number one priority will always be our league campaign. But yeah, you know, to get drawn against Darlington, obviously a local club, it's set to be a really, you know, a high profile local game, and lots of people are taking a lot of interest in it.
And obviously, speaking of Darlington, we've been doing the show now for a number of years now, and we remember the Division One North title race that was happening between. Well, Darlington had a couple of title races with the likes of Salford and Kersey Ashton, South Shields looking to replicate that rise up the league pyramid. We had your chairman on, as I alluded to earlier. Yeah. We had your chairman on, and that's the level of ambition. I think you and Graham have been at the helm now for nearly a year at the club. How's the last year been?
Yeah, well, obviously we've enjoyed quite a lot of highs and hopefully long may that continue. We're fully aware that football has a habit of bringing you back down to earth. Plenty of time, so we're certainly not sitting here being complacent. But we're really, really pleased with the development both on and off the pitch over the last 12 months. Obviously, we had a lot to show for our efforts at the end of last season with four trophies. Capping things off with a fantastic trip to Wembley and the FA of Oz. But no, this season, you almost have to hit the reset button, and last season counts for nothing now. And our overriding priority is to try and get out of Evo Stick North. It's going to be a tough challenge. We've already seen the first few games that, there's going to be slightly different challenges for us this season compared to last season. I think a lot of the teams are maybe a bit more athletic, a little bit more organised. So, we have got a lot of quality in our squad, but it's certainly by no means going to be a foregone conclusion. That's certainly nowhere near what our mindset is at this end, that's for sure.
And we saw that last week, and I don't mean to take you back to last weekend, but we saw that against Colwyn Bay. But then again, you did bounce back midweek as well, so that shows there's steeliness to your starting 11, certainly.
No, absolutely, Ben. We were over the moon with the response we got on Tuesday. If the truth be told, we should have probably made it a bit more convincing, the final result. We kind of suffered from a lot of poor decisions, misplaced passes in around the final third on Tuesday night, but we hung on for the 3 points. Colwyn Bay, give us the kick up the backside that I think every team needs every so often. We've been on a well-documented 45-game unbeaten run. And I think, if the truth be told, I think there was a really tiny part of me who actually was a little bit relieved that we got beat on Saturday. I think our performances leading up to that game hadn't been brilliant, and I think we needed to have a bit of a wake up call, and hopefully that may be something we look back on at the end of this season and think, well, actually that was a good thing that what happened on Saturday.
And hopefully you'll take that into Saturday's match, because this is the Evo Stick MPL show. You're playing Darlington, so we could say we hope to be hearing from you in the third qualifying round. As we've said, though, it is going to be a tough game, this one.
Yeah, we're massively looking forward to Saturday. We'll be taking a lot of fans down there, and it'll be a fantastic atmosphere, I'm sure.
Well, everyone on the show wishes you all the best, Lee, to you and Graham as well. And, Lee Picton, joint manager at South Shields, a big thank you for joining us. All the best this weekend, and we'll be speaking to you in the third qualifying round. Lee Picton there, manager at South Shields. Ooh, what do you think? This one's got an upset written all over it, in my opinion.
I think it has. Although Darlington will take a lot from ending the run without a win in midweek. So that's done the world of good. But yes, let's focus on the Northern Premier League team, also because I have seen South Shields, because annoyingly, because it could have been an away day at Darlington, they did not win out in the previous round. And I was really impressed with South Shields. They're not quite in the way I was expecting to be. They, I'd spoken to people, and they I was expecting almost, or been led to believe, that the kind of Harlem Globetrotters of the North East were coming to town. And they're not like that at all. And I absolutely don't mean that critically. They're just a really well-drilled, very, very composed side, unflustered, loads of experience. And it's that know-how in the end that kind of ground out a win at Witten, because Witten were the better side earlier on in that game and really should have taken the lead. And then South Shields just waited and waited for their opportunity and kind of picked Witten off when they had the opportunity to do so. And I wonder if they might approach this game in a similar way, and they're certainly equipped to do that. Obviously, in the past 7 days, they've had that huge, long, unbeaten run came to an end last weekend when they lost at Colwyn Bay, and hat tip to Colwyn Bay for being the team to end that, by the way. But it didn't seem to have bothered them because they've gone and picked up a really good win at Cole in midweek. So they bounced back straight away. No ill effects of losing that long run. I don't know. They are two leagues lower. Yeah. So, you know, Darlow have to be favourites, but what an occasion that is going to be. And you're right, South Shields travelling support. Shout out to them. They were fantastic at Winchin Park a couple of weeks ago, and they're obviously going to travel in even bigger numbers just down the road to Darlow.
This weekend, though, there's also this tie here, Grantham Town against Alvechurch. We did speak to Ian Long last week. Is there a chance for an upset here?
Absolutely, Grantham? Yeah. I mean, Grantham are strong at home, as they always are. That cliche we trot out, but the home form is good this season. They were well beaten at Farsley in midweek, though. Then again, Farsley are having a great start to the season, so it's not a disgraceful result. But they are... being paired with a side that's loving life, isn't it, in Division 1 South. They've made a great start. They haven't lost away from home yet. They're third in the league. Battered Market Drayton away from home in the last round. So Alvechurch go up there full of confidence. I think this will be a real, real close one. Grantham might just edge it with that superior home record, but if it does go to a replay, I'd fancy the lower ranked team to get through.
Now, last week we also had Ryan Austin on at Kidsgrove Athletic. They've got a very tough tie. This is if they win this, I think this would be one of the results of the round, to be honest. Kettering Town against Kidsgrove Athletic. Stranger things have happened, though, to be fair.
Yeah, and Kidsgrove are having a very Kidsgrove season. They're conceding a lot of goals, but they've still got that firepower as well. Although they have improved in the past couple of weeks, they picked up their first couple of league wins, so things seem to be coming together nicely for them. They've had two really good wins in the FA Cup, though. They've knocked out Trafford and Clitheroe in previous rounds. The FA Cup has got fond memories for them this season, but you cannot underestimate just how difficult an assignment this is to go down to Kettering, who, whilst they've only played three home games in the league this season, they haven't conceded a goal there yet and are second in the Southern Premier. So they're having a really good season after a very difficult campaign last year, which was ended in disappointment in the middle of the table. And I did see them against Witten in the FA Trophy, and they were well beaten that day as well. So, but yeah, they're favourites. But Kidsgrove, they're one of these sides that are just so strong up front that they can cause these upsets. But that really would be an upset if they pull that off this weekend.
Now, Lancaster City against Drolsden. Unfortunately, Dave Pace is busy this week, so we've not had a chance to get him on. And just to mention about Lancaster City, there's one fan on Twitter who keeps getting in touch with the show saying, oh, you don't like Lancaster City, you've got it in for us kind of thing. It's like, no, not at all. Lancaster City against Drolsden this weekend. Ooh, Drolsden are in a good run of form at the moment. Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see how Lancaster react to their first league defeat.
Yeah, although Ashton are the Premier Division giant killers, aren't they? They seem to be beating everybody who they not expected to beat. So, and they've done it again, you know, inflicting that first defeat of the season on Lancaster. So, yeah, we're looking to see how Lancaster respond. Obviously, these two teams know each other because they were rivals in the league last season. Lancaster have adjusted, you know, really well to life in the Premier Division. They've drawn a few games, but they've been very solid, tough to beat. You can't really ask for much more. But they run into a Drolsden team that is absolutely flying. They had a great win against Colwyn Bay in the last round in what was a proper Drolsden game, innit? Just goals at both ends. But they're in form, won five of the past six in the league. And I think they're second, aren't they, in the table? They're having a great start. They'll fancy it. And what we all love about Drolsden is they don't care who they play. They just go and play in the same way. It doesn't matter if they're home or away. And so Lancaster obviously will know that from the meetings last season and we're ready for it. But yeah, I think it's a really, really tricky game for Lancaster tomorrow.
Then we've got our next interviews coming up now for this game here. Newcastle Benfield of the Northern League, they're playing Ashton United. We'll get Simo's thoughts in a second, but let's hear now from the manager at Ashton United. Please welcome Jody Bannum. Hello, Jody. How's things?
How are you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. We'll get to the FA Cup in a second, but just your overall thoughts to the start Ashton United have made to the season. It's been a good start so far.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasing start. There's been some funny results in the start of the season. Obviously, we got beat heavily at home by Buxton 4-1, which, you know, I feel circumstances were against us that day and resulted in, obviously, us getting beat. We got beat up at Whitby 3-2. That was an unfortunate result again. Thought we did enough to get something out of that game. But the majority of the wins, draws, etc., I've been very pleased with. And obviously we're in the next round of the FA Cup as well. So it's been a solid start, not spectacular, but solid.
And that midweek win against Lancaster City. I mean, Lancaster City have had a very good start to the season. Their first defeat of the season. So I guess that shows where Ashton United are.
Yeah, it is. Listen, I think we've got a squad. Well, we've got a big squad at the minute because we're carrying so many injuries, and I think we've got a squad quite capable of being up there and challenging for the playoffs this season. And you know, I'm quietly confident of that. I've expressed that to the lads, and you know, they know what's expected of them this season going forward. Tuesday night, you know, Lancaster came, and they're a very stubborn, difficult team to break down. And, you know, they defend very deep and break quickly. And we had a little helping hand from their goalkeeper. He's dropped one in the first half to our centre forward's feet. It's put us 1-0 up, and they've crept back into the game. And then I think Matthew Chadwick has hit a kind of speculative cross shot that's crept in the far post. It's won us the game. So we'll take them. We've, as I said, with the Buxton and the Whitby games, we've played better than Tuesday and lost. So we'll gratefully take the 3 points.
I mean, you've already touched upon it there in the answer about your expectations for this season. I mean, last season, it was a bit of a transition year, really, at Ashton United. But throughout our 5 years of doing this show, Ashton United have always been there or thereabouts when it comes to the playoffs. Is that the expectation this season for your side?
Yeah, massively. Listen, but obviously we had a tough act to follow with Paul and Stephen. They got to the playoffs the last 3 years and they'd set the bar. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head. It was a transitional season for us last season. We had a lot of players coming in and out. And, you know, we needed to get a good pre-season behind us, bring some players in to add to the quality players we already had. And I was always confident that we could get the right players in. We would be pushing towards the playoffs this season. You know, that's my target.
What about the FA Cup then? So we've got an away trip this weekend to Newcastle Benfield. What do you know about Newcastle Benfield?
Well, we've had them watched on Tuesday over in Penrith. I think they'll be a typical kind of Northern League team. They'll be big, strong, organised, and it'll be a really tough game for us. Not read the report yet that's been sent across to us from the Penrith game, but I know a couple of their players, Paul Brayson. Striker over there, slightly older than me, so I'm interested to see how he's getting on. But you know, he's a bit of a legend within non-league as well. Certainly scored a lot of goals, and so I expect a really tough game. It's a long trip for us. They've had a good win in the last round against Whitley Bay at home as well. So they'll be full of beans. I think it's the furthest they've been in the FA Cup as well. So it's going to be a really tough ask for us.
Are you after a good cup run this year, or do you feel that is distracting? I mean, what's your views on the competition?
No, not at all. No. Listen, winning games isn't a distraction. You know, I want to win as many games as possible, and bring in much needed revenue in, which the FA Cup does, is important for the football club. It's important for the players as well. You know, we've got a lot of young players who potentially, I think, can play higher. So this is a good platform for them to play against high league opposition and test themselves and put themselves in the shop window potentially as well. So it's a massive thing for all non-league clubs, the FA Cup, and we're no different.
And obviously, you know, we'd like a good underdog here on the NPL show, but this weekend, we hope you win, Jodie, and we'll be hearing from you in the third qualifying round. Thanks for joining us.
Super. All right, thanks very much.
So Jodie Bannon there at Ashton United. Ashton United travelling up north to take on Newcastle Benfield this weekend. Northern League sides, they're a pain, aren't they?
They are, absolutely. Newcastle, they're doing okay. They're in the middle of the league, but obviously having a great run in the FA Cup. Shout out to Paul Brayson, who has turned 40 and is still banging in the goals for them. Personal shout out as well, one of my favourite players that I've seen play down here for Northwich in the time I've been doing this job, and it's amazing to see him still doing the business. But Ashton will go up there, they'll be wary of that. I mean, as I said, Ashton have been a bit of a giant killer this season. They're the only team to have beaten Warrington, which is a tremendous result when you see how Warrington have done so far this season. Obviously then, first team to beat Lancaster in midweek, so they won't be frightened at the prospect of going up there, and I still think it'd be a huge upset if Newcastle were to knock them out, even with the usual disclaimers about the Northern League.
Ossett Town against Atherton Colliery, there will be fireworks in that one there, I believe. Do I put you on record in this one? Because this one's going to be a bit of an NPL ding-dong.
Bit of an NPL ding-dong. They did play each other, didn't they, in the league last week, and first blood to Ossett Town because they won 2-0 at Coles last week. It's always a bit of a weird one when you play back-to-back games against somebody with the dynamic of what's happened in the first game can impact on the second one. Coles are still adjusting to life, aren't they, in Division 1 North, but they're doing just fine in the middle of the table. Probably their best result of the season, though, was in the FA Cup, wasn't it? And they beat Cleethorpes in the last round, which is an absolutely tremendous result. So they'll be looking to get their own back after losing to Ossett last week. And Ossett haven't won at home yet in the league, so there's a little bit of a hope there for Coles. I think, yeah, I think it'd be really close, really close.
Scarborough Athletic against Sunderland RCA.
It's another than the side. They're doing a little bit better than Newcastle are. I think they had this morning. They're seventh in Division One of the Northern League, so they're doing just fine. Scarborough just into life, obviously, in the new ground. They've done really well since they lost to South Shields there on Bank Holiday Monday and have won four games in League and Cup since. So have picked up, done really well. They had a great win in the last round against Workington, by the way, there. Yeah. So they're favourites, and I expect them to get through.
We're nearly at the end. I did say I wouldn't keep you for half an hour, but we're getting... anyway.
We're nearly there.
Shepshed Dynamo against Nantwich Town. Nantwich, you've got to teach Shepshed a lesson, haven't they, after the last round?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, Shepshed scored six again in a league game in midweek, so they're absolutely flying in the Midland League. Nantwich having a really nice, solid start to the season. We're all a little bit worried, weren't we, with the turnover of players there, but Dave Cook's come in, made some astute signings. They've had some good results, a couple of good away wins at Rushall and Micklehove, and they also got that great point at Stourbridge, so I don't think an away game at Shepshed will fill them with dread, and I expect them to get the job done. I think they are going to teach them a lesson.
Shildon against Altrincham. Is there an upset here? Is there an upset?
Oh, I don't think so. Although Alty did make really hard work of getting through, didn't they? They needed two stabs at Abbey Hay to get to the next stage, and then obviously had a really disappointing result at Workington in midweek, although with the mitigation that Max Harrop was sent off in the first half. So they did play the second half with 10 men at Workington, who we know obviously are a good side. But no, I think Alty will bounce back, and I think they'll get the job done.
Stafford Rangers against Tamworth. We've not got Neil Kitchen on at the moment because obviously don't really want to jinx it for him. They've had a bit of a dip in form, haven't they? So
yes.
But then they are hosting Tamworth, and they are, there is a chance.
There's a chance, but it's not a very big one. Their home form is wretched. I was there last Saturday and they got tonked by Witten 4-0, and they were as bad as you would expect from the outside of a 4-0 result. They've got problems at both ends of the field. They did put in an improved performance against Warrington in midweek, even though they still went down there. So they put up more of a fight, but Neil's got problems there. Very passionate post-match interview after the Witten game, if you look that up, where he promised to make changes, and I think he is going to follow through with that. Tamworth are doing okay as well, aren't they?
They're in the
top five, so real tough assignment for Stafford tomorrow, I'm afraid.
Stalybridge Celtic against Charlie. We'll get your thoughts in a second, Simo, but I did catch up with Steve Burr this week, and let's hear what the manager at Stalybridge Celtic had to say. Hello, Steve, how's things?
All right, Ben. Yes, good, thank you.
We'll get to the FA Cup in a second or so, but after a bit of a sluggish start, are you starting to see some shoots now on Stalybridge's league campaign?
Well, it has been a very frustrating start for us because we didn't expect to be in this position that we're in, but obviously we're there for a reason. But yeah, there've been some very good signs. I mean, I think apart from Whitby, and that was two late goals that made it look worse than it was, but the games have been very close, and we had a good performance against Stourbridge last weekend, and obviously getting through the FA Cup was important, but there's still a lot of work to be done. You know, the club have been in decline for probably the last 4 or 5 years, and it takes a bit of time just to go in and turn it round. But you know, there's been some good signs. We've got some good young lads, and they're working very hard, and the staff and all the people connected with the club, we're all trying to, you know, turn things around at the club. But it has been a difficult start for us, but there are good signs, and then you see all the games where you think you just need to obviously improve on things.
Now, as an FC United fan, I'm probably slightly more interested in this question than I have been in the past. When you get relegated from the National League North into the NPL, we've discussed it in the past with the likes of Colwyn Bay, of Hyde, of Joel's, of Stafford, of Hensford. It's often a very difficult relegation. What are the challenges that you as a manager face getting used to this level?
I think the challenges that I've found this season is obviously... I've been used to full-time, working with full-time players, and the football is their career. You have to take into account, obviously, lads who are working, who perhaps can't get to a game because of work commitments. I think the hardest part for me this time was getting used to lads actually being away and telling you they've got a wedding on or they've booked a holiday in the season. And that's something that I just can't get my head around. But it is what it is, and You have to get over those sort of hurdles. But I think it's just coping with probably the fact that hey, football's for me has always been the be all and end all, and maybe at this level, you know, there are other things that people who are playing at this level find more important than football. But I say it is what it is. You know, you're working with a lot of non-contract players. You get players, obviously, who perhaps haven't got the stomach to, or maybe they can't hack it at this level, and you know they want to move on at the slightest thing. But hey, as I say, you know, there's all sorts of challenges with it, and it's been a difficult one for us. But I think the other thing, you know, you look at Stafford's and you look at Hensford. I mean, I had a great spell at Hensford when they were going through the leagues and got into the conference. Clubs can certainly slide very quickly, and you've got to stop that slide, because once you get into that mode of losing and regularly losing, it can be very hard to turn it around. And we're finding that at the moment, obviously, at Stalybridge. You know, I've gone in back end of last season, and we're still struggling at the moment. But you know, there's some good signs there, and I'm quietly convinced that we can improve ourselves this season and be at the right end of the table.
Well, a win against Stourbridge is certainly not nothing to be shirked at. It's a cracking result that on Saturday, and then obviously the narrow defeat to Buxton, and Buxton are a cracking side. But when it comes to the FA Cup, obviously this weekend, we'll come to the match against Chorley in a second. But does the FA Cup help reignite a form? I mean, the result in the last round, you did follow that up with an epic scoreline. You did get beat against Farnsley, but it was an epic scoreline. Does it help having results in the FA Cup, which are positive? Does that impact on the league form, do you think?
To be honest, Ben, I just think it helps if you're winning matches, because winning matches breeds confidence. And that's the one thing at our place at the minute. You know, there's nothing wrong with the confidence. You know, the lads are buzzing about in training, and they're always ready and prepared for the games. But I think any manager will tell you if you're winning games, whether it be the FA Cup or the league, it breeds confidence. But I think one thing now at our level and clubs, non-league particularly, the FA Cup is vital for revenue.
Now, this weekend, as we've alluded to, it's Chorley coming to Bower Fold for a nice visit in the FA Cup. What are you expecting from Chorley? I don't mean to use cliches, but the FA Cup is a great leveller. Chorley's start hasn't been the best. They have started to string a few more results together of late, though. What are you expecting from them?
Well, they're a club that are trying to get into the National League. You know, they came close last year. They'll be big. They'll be strong. So all those sort of things that we expect from Chorley. We've had them watched over the last couple of weeks. You know, Matt's done a great job there since he's been in there. But hey, you just alluded to the fact, you know, this is the FA Cup, and anything happens in the FA Cup. And, hey, we're going to go there. We're going to go on Saturday, and you know, we'll look to get in amongst Chorley and in that two FA Cup spirit, because that's what we'll need to get through, and we'll need a bit of luck along the way. But there's no reason why we can't cause an upset, that's for sure.
Well, Steve Burt, manager at Stalybridge Celtic, on behalf of all the listeners, best of luck this weekend. We hope you win, and there's no hope about it. I'll speak to you in the third qualifying round.
Yeah, let's hope so, Ben. Cheers, mate.
So Steve Burr there, manager at Stalybridge Celtic, and it's true what we suspected. He is trying to get to grips with the level and the issues and difficulties you have at managing a squad at this level with part-time players, essentially.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've said this more than once. I've said this more than once this evening. Steve has not managed at this level for more than a decade when he was at Huddersfield. He's just been managing higher because he's an excellent manager and has got jobs higher up. And also, not only that, there's been a huge turnover at Stalybridge this season. I think they've signed more than 15 players in the summer alone. So there's a huge, huge turnover building a team there. All that said, of course he's going to be disappointed with how they started the season. Although they did have a great win in the last round, didn't they,
yeah,
against Farsley. That's probably been the standout result of their season so far. And it's funny, isn't it, sometimes how the FA Cup can help you kind of turn things around in the league. There's still work to do. They're still going to be disappointed where they are. I 100% expect Steve Burr to turn it around. I 100% expect Rob Gorski, the chairman, to give him the time to do that. Obviously, it's a really difficult assignment against surely. But yeah, based on how they did in the last round, it's a chance for Staley just to kind of continue this incremental improvement. And even if they don't get through, they put on a good show and it'll stand them in good stead. I do expect to see them climbing the table in the next few weeks. So I think it'd be a good tie, that, actually, tomorrow.
Warrington Town against Hyde United. We obviously spoke to Darren Kelly last week. It's essentially, this is a free hit. Warrington Town are in excellent form at the moment. It's just a question of, is the FA Cup going to get in the way of what's looking like a promotion challenge this season for Warrington?
Yeah, there's no signs of that. Their squad's certainly big enough to cope with both, and they're playing well. When you're playing well, I suppose you don't really care what competition you play in. So it's a really tough game for Hyde, but Hyde have had a good start to the season, haven't they, to be fair? I think they're unbeaten still in Division 1 North. So if they can get it to a replay, for example, they probably might fancy their chances of getting through. Warrington, obviously, favourites, really strong all over the field, scoring goals. So, yeah, I expect them probably to get the job done tomorrow, but Hyde will make them earn it, definitely.
And lastly, but not leastly, on Sunday afternoon, Stour Bridge against St Ives Town.
Stour Bridge, FA Cup Kings, etc., as we've talked about in the past. Still finding their way a little bit in the Premier Division this season. But to be fair, Gary Hackett, when he did the interview with you a couple of weeks ago, said that he expected that. There's been a turnover of players and he's bedding them in. It's hardly like they're struggling, though, because they're still in the top five. They're still having a good season, definitely. And I expect them to progress in the FA Cup this weekend.
Well, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, that's what happens when you go off to the Northwest Counties. You come back and a major graft. But big thank you. Job well done. And of course, we wish everyone well in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. We hope you all win and make it through to the next round. And at that point, we'll invite Simon back on to see if he wants to do it all again, but for the third qualifying round. Andrew Simpson, yeah. Just before you go, just a quick plug for your work and how people can follow you and that kind of thing.
Yeah, northwestguardian.co.uk and on Twitter at @Simo_on_sport. I won't be on FA Cup duty sadly this weekend with Whitton being eliminated, but I will be doing their Boom Banger Bang game against Colville in the Premier Division, so still a big weekend for me.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to Simo and James Hayes for joining me on this week's show. And we should say a big happy birthday to you, James. You kept it quiet, didn't you? But Facebook takes no prisoners. Happy birthday, James. All the best, my friend. Remember as well, you can follow this show on Twitter. That's @NPLshow. And for all the latest news and developments from the Northern Premier League, please visit the website evostickleague.co.uk. A big good luck to all our sides in FA Cup action this weekend. We hope you all win. And a big thank you to all my guests for joining me this week. But I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.